show. This one is, well, I don't know what it is, but it's really something.
Yeah, it is.
Mr. Morning Sky, I'm a Christian man. This is Joe in Conroe, Texas, by the way.
Yes, sir.
And I am trying very valiantly to practice Christian tolerance here of your views and your research. And I would have to say that even though I know you said it in the context of what your reply would be if you were asked to renounce your beliefs under torture.
I believe I was extracting his intestines.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, and that would probably, I'm sure that would elicit a more emotional response than would probably be normal, but...
Just a higher octave.
it would be easier for us to be tolerant if you didn't have to say things like Christianity sucks.
Well, that would be at a very extreme moment of stress.
Well, that's why I preceded that with the statement that I made.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I'd like to say, maybe it's just my misunderstanding, but I'm unclear as to exactly what this ancient family that you continue to refer to as the family actually is, according to your belief and your research.
All right, in a nutshell, that family which believes it is descendant from Christ.
But then he also said that he thought that was not true, that it was a fake. And just
that's right. That is true. You did say that, right,
yes,
Robert?
Yes, that's correct. And the immediate answer to that is that this family is using a very dramatic statement, we are descended of Jesus, as the foundation of its credibility and the power base that it is trying to create. In fact...
In other words, they are using what you call the myth, right?
That's correct. That's absolutely correct. But the evidence suggests that they have been here for much longer, that Jesus was descended of this family. But they have turned and reversed it. They put the cart before the horse, and they're saying that this myth and legend is what gives us credibility, when in fact they have existed for far longer than that. So the gentleman is absolutely correct, and that's the statement that I'm making. I also must say that, again, under the extreme circumstances that a very good friend, Art Bell, suggested, I would respond in a very dramatic fashion. I do wish to, if it is deemed necessary, I do wish to apologize for that statement, because as it stands, you know, by itself, I'm sure that that's going to disturb many, but...
Sure. Well, I put you on the rack. I mean, everybody should know, I said, if I were slitting your side and opening your belly and telling you to embrace Christ as Christians believe Christ to be, or, you know, we're going to yank out your intestines, that mm-hmm. was the context of your... very controversial remark.
well, please understand, I am a Christian man. I remain so even after night of listening to Art Bell, having people on to, you know, to convince me that we probably descended from star creatures, and that the area that I live in is soon probably going to all be underwater. And, you know, there's just a whole lot of really terrible things that could just knock my faith all to hell, so to speak, but I'm still kind of hanging on to it, and I do find the things that you're saying very, very interesting, especially the way that you seem to be able to tie it into to so many of the other prophecies and various religions. And who knows? You know what I believe may be completely wrong.
I appreciate your call, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Comments, Robert.
I have to thank the gentleman again. As you at the very beginning of the program, I was very concerned that they were going to crucify me, but the response has been very, very...
Show's not over yet.
Thank you, but thank this gentleman very, very much. I don't want to take his faith away again. All I want to do is to present the information and let the public decide, you know, what they want to do with it. So thank him very much.
Mm-hmm. Robert, I am shocked... Actually shocked and surprised at the phone response, the fax response so far. I'm really shocked. First time caller line, you're on the air with Robert Morning Sky. Hello.
Yes, I'd like to ask Robert Morning Sky if he's referring to the Merovingian dynasty of France, and if Jesus was supposedly not crucified on the cross, escaped and went to France, and the dynasty was from Charlemagne on, and... Does that have something to do with it?
Sounds about right. Is
Holy
that
Blood,
it?
Holy Grail?
Holy Blood, Holy Grail has a lot of the very, very same information that we had been working with for a long time. I'm sure that I'm not going to put myself in any greater danger than to identify what other authors have identified as the family known as the Merovingians. The only possible problem I may have with what you said is that apparently Jesus did not go to France, that he fled to India. There is a remarkable author from Australia, Barbara Thiering, who has done work on the Dead Sea Scrolls. And she, in fact, found evidence in Dead Sea Scrolls that are generally not released or translated. Evidence in the scrolls suggests that Jesus and Mary did not have a good relationship at the end, that she was very concerned for his safety, understandably so, and her family, and that there was a Passover plot, and he fled to India. She left to France with her family, and that the Merovingians, the secret family, as I portray them, were descended from Mary and her offspring. And Holy Blood, Holy Grail, I think, is a must-read for anybody. And if anyone follows that book, then perhaps the target on my forehead will get a little bit smaller, and perhaps we'll look to Europe to some other authors.
Yeah, but in the meantime, if Salman Rushdie is out there, he could probably sublet you some space for a while here. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Morning Sky. Hello.
Art, how in the world are you?
Well, you're listening.
This is Ken from Arkansas.
Yes, Ken.
I've been listening to this, and I'd like to ask him just a few quick questions and maybe gain a different perspective here.
Okay.
The first one is, let me ask you, Robert, do you believe that Caesar crossed the Rubicon? Do you believe that Alexander the Great conquered most of the known world?
Do I believe that?
Yeah.
Well, you know, again, it comes down to the question of, you know, George Washington was the first president. Do I believe that? There are records and documentation to show that. Perhaps the better way to put it is that I accept that because it is, you know, a matter of record. On the other hand, I'm the first to say that historical records can be altered. So based on the fact that there appear to be historical records to support what you have suggested, yes. I am not, however, against saying that perhaps they were fabricated and they may be false.
Well, the same could be said of your research then, right?
Oh, absolutely. That's precisely the case. As I said, all I want to do is to present the research, let people take a look at what I'm saying, and if they choose to reject it or set it aside, I have absolutely no problems with that at all. The only problem I have is of being shut, you know, having the door shut down or being asked to leave before I even get a chance to speak, and that, I think, goes contrary to what the whole premise of this country and religion is about. So you're absolutely correct. I could be absolutely wrong.
Could be. Well, the thing is, if you do believe that Caesar existed, Alexander, all the ancient manuscripts point to that fact, well, there's a mountain of evidence that points that Jesus actually did exist and he actually did die. In fact, there's writings to prove that as far as Pilate and Herod writing each other about that. There's two manuscripts that verify that, one from the 6th, 7th century, and the other one is in France, if you're familiar with those writings.
I am.
I could go through an entire list here. Clement, Trajan. In addition to the scripture, there's a mountain of evidence about Jesus. In addition,
all right, I think that's a well-made point. In other words, Robert, to embrace as fact what you apparently now do, and I'll say that,
mm-hmm.
embrace as fact,
mm-hmm.
It requires you to deny a very great deal of written history. Now, it requires you to say, you believe, you must say, you believe it is false. That
it
has been falsified.
Inaccurate, yes.
That there has been an intentional, incredible, cosmic misleading of mankind since long before any of us can recall or any of our many ancestors. In other words, for so much time, mankind has been so misled. So lied to.
That's absolutely correct. I do believe, as you know, the opening statement in the very first book that I put out that suggested we've been deceived, misled all along. And certainly for every book that one finds that supports one concept, you can find one that suggests that it is false. I understand
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why all I can suggest to the gentleman and to your listeners is Let us just simply put all of that out on the table.
Yes.
And allow the public to read, to pick and choose whatever is out there, and then allow them to decide. I suggest that that is what free will and destiny is about. And so I will be the first one in public to say, accept nothing that I say, believe none of it, simply read it, and then you entertain it, and then you make a decision. But the gentleman is correct. I may be wrong, but then again, we must say he might be wrong, too.
All right, let's do one more hour. This is something. Stay where you are. Robert Morning Sky is my guest. He'll be back. Now to Robert Ghostwolf. Robert, it's a funny thing. I started out the show this morning not exactly knowing the direction that we were going. Was kind of shocked when I figured out the direction that we were obviously going. And now I'm intrigued by the response. By what you're saying, the way you've said it, by the fact that you've got your neck out 100 miles, by the fact that you have effectively ended your career as you have known it, changed your life, may end up being the modern-day Salman Rushdie here in America. And it's a rough, tough position to be in. And while I don't necessarily agree with what you're saying, I am intrigued by it, Robert. And I am surprised at the guts that you've got. Not the ones we've spread on the table here, the ones to come on the radio and do this.
Well, I have to thank you again very much for the opportunity to share some time with you and to talk to the public. I think you really do, and pardon me for a moment, but I really do believe you personify individuals who are willing to listen to, you know, any side of any issue, regardless of how extreme it might be. And so
I am.
Your work is exemplary, and I got to thank you for it. And again, if there's going to be a venue that's going to afford me an opportunity to say a few parting words, I'm very honored and pleased to have been able to share this time and to be saving with you. So thank you very much. And,
sure.
And again, thank you to the people who are calling. I am also amazed. I really did expect that we wouldn't be able to talk about this, that I would be, as you put it, crucified.
Mm.
But the very fact that people are responding as they are is what has kept me going for a year and a half. And I really believe that people know there is much more to what is going on than what we are being told. And so thank you to your listeners. Thank you to you. Thank you to the people I've worked with in the past. Thank you to the entire world for affording me the opportunity to express what may be considered slightly radical.
All right, well, back to the Inquisition. Art, how come your guest has not mentioned the following? Knights of Malta, also known as Knights of St. John, who are the Catholics or Italians. Knights Teutonics, who are the Germans and Serbs, and that is why, by the way, the UN did not want to bomb the Serbs. The Knights Templar escaped France in the 10th century, went to New York, England, and Scotland. Thus, the Scottish Rite and the New York Rite, and the York Rite, by the way, all of the above, run the world. Any reaction to that?
Well, the question that was posed, you know, why didn't we address that? Number one, simply the time constraints and the need to focus on essentially one topic. I will not exclude so many organizations that throughout our history have been, labeled as either secret societies or cultic societies. The time is part of the restraint. Some of these groups get rather radical, and I know it may sound strange coming from me, but I do try to be very skeptical and deal with information that we can verify from several sources. And so while the individual who sent the fact is probably correct in that these societies do influence and continue to influence.
Mm-hmm.
Our topic, as we began this evening, was with the Knights Templar and time and focus simply don't permit.
All right, that's a fair answer. And then this, Art, those so-called religious persons who would censor or obliterate, there's a word for you, as close to liquidate, I guess, obliterate your guest are really betraying the weakness of their own faith. Real faith can stand firm in the winds of deception, doesn't need to try to silence them. Your guest's work is not correct, but neither is Christendom. The truth is a little of both. There really was a Christ, a real person, But the one presented by Christendom has been so watered down, effeminated, and politically corrected, that he no longer represents the true Son of God. If you want to know what the real Christ was and is like, he's right there in the Bible, not in the churches. That's from Alhambra. I take it you disagree with that.
I don't disagree that the true image of the teacher that appeared at that time has been completely distorted. I don't disagree with that at all. Again, you know, I simply offer my my research, and you know, I think you need to sit down with the radical writings of Morning Sky, the Bible, the Quran, and all of these books, and every individual has to weigh them for themselves. So,
All right, back we go. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Morning Sky. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Is there any chance that when he was hit by that car that it was just an accident, maybe a drunk driver?
Yes. I would like to believe that.
It's a fair question, but it was 11:30 at night and the headlights were off.
Yeah, there's a lot of crazies out there.
Yeah, there are. I mean, yes, of course it is possible. However, based on what I've heard him say this morning, such an attempt wouldn't surprise me, would it, you?
I don't know what to believe. This is so awesome, I can't believe it.
I appreciate your call, sir. Thank you. Yes, there's always, when you don't know, when somebody hit you and ran, what the hell do you know, except that a crime has been committed in the running.
And the gentleman is correct. I really would like to believe that it was an accident.
Of course.
I'm just very concerned because of the research that we're doing that it was a factor. And as I said, my wife and I agonized about it. We didn't know, did we want to go ahead and say this or not. And so the gentleman is absolutely correct, and I would like to think it was an accident. That nevertheless does not change my feeling about the work.
Right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Morning Sky. Hello.
Good morning, Robert. This is Monterey Dave. An accident, I don't think. But my question was, have you read any of the Dead Sea Scrolls and the references in there to the darker leader during that period? And also the esoteric and the secular meanings behind all the imagery that's in the Bible?
Our resources come from all over the United States. I do have a source coming out of Australia that has provided as best as is possible ancient interpretations, the linguistic interpretations of the Dead Sea Scrolls, and so I'm familiar with it. Again, you know, you're subject to the researcher and their interpretation of our particular phrase or a word, so I am familiar with it. I am very fortunate in that I have Native American background. I've worked with the Aborigines, the Maoris, other Native people throughout the planet, and that has played a very, very big part in, one, assisting me in unraveling a lot of the prophecies that we find around the planet. But the prophecies and the work that I had been doing up to less than 2 months ago supports dramatically what is in the Dead Sea Scrolls and what is occurring now. So I find myself overwhelmed with what is coming out of all of this.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Morning Sky. Hello. Hello there.
Yes.
Where are you, please?
I'm Kansas City, Jason.
Hi, Jason.
Hi. One question I have is concerning the Knights of Malta and the knights that he's referring to. Back in Malta, they had, during that time, they had pagans which worshipped God of fertility. Does that have anything to do with this being the head of Mary, that the knight that he referred to?
There is an indirect line through Mary, is the way I would put it. One of the things that has come out in our research, and this is not just in the last 2 months, but in the last couple of years, is that, in fact, the oldest religions of man are all based on a mother goddess. They are a female-oriented religion. Mm-hmm. And the Knights of Malta, the Templar Knights, the Freemasons, all the societies, if you examine their writings very carefully, in fact, they have an orientation towards a woman, towards a goddess as opposed to a god. And so, yes, there are links from Templar Knights to the Knights of Malta back to a very, very ancient religion based on a mother goddess.
Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Robert Morningsky. Good morning.
Yes, Art. I'm calling from San Francisco.
Yes.
I have a couple of questions.
Fire away.
I read an article in Perception Magazine by Morningsky, and he referred to a group of beings from Sirius that were a dog-like race. And I wanted to know, how does this connect with Sitchin saying that they were from Nibiru and looking more like human beings? Was that symbolic, or was that an actual likeness in your article that they look like dog-like beings?
Okay, number one, the article that was in Perceptions magazine, and I am an admirer of the magazine, I did not write it. It was written by a lady who I have respect for up in the Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
The individuals that I talk about, the beings that I talk about from the star system Sirius, I have portrayed them or suggested that they are descended from a canine type race. However, they are humanoid.
Okay.
And so it does not in any way conflict with Mr. Sitchin, who I really admire. I believe he's an unrecognized scholar.
Okay. The second part of the question is, the planet Sirius, how does it connect with the planet Nibiru? And I'll take that answer on the air.
All right.
Thanks.
Our research has suggested that the planet Nibiru, in fact, is not a planet as portrayed by, again, with all respect to Mr. Sitchin. Nibiru is another type of heavenly body that, and I believe Mr. Sitchin has gone on record. Someone can correct me if I've made a mistake, but I believe he's gone on record as saying that Hale-Bopp, I believe he said it's a harbinger of Nibiru.
Yes, he did. I interviewed him, and that is exactly what he said.
Yes, that this is a harbinger of Nibiru, and my understanding, and unfortunately I wish I had more contact with the gentleman, I am not sure when he suggests the return of Nibiru occurs, but in a book that we published a few months ago called Prophecy, in it, we link the Blue Star Kachina, some Mesopotamian goddess, the sun disk of the Egyptians, and Nibiru. We have an entire linguistic study on Nibiru and how, in fact, the term Nibiru is what gave birth to the term Nephilim, which is obviously a biblical term referring to the sons of the gods of long ago. And so I hesitate almost to mention it in the very, very brief time, but Nibiru, I suggest, is linked with the Hale-Bopp comet, which is linked with Hopi prophecies, which ties in dramatically well with Mr. Sitchin's work. I do not disagree with virtually anything he says. What we do disagree on are just minor interpretations of some old words.
All right. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Robert Morningsky. Good morning.
This is Clyde from Memphis. I'd like to ask Mr. Morningsky about the Holy Blood and Holy Grail. And there's a question when I read it as to who was that priest and the woman in that French town.
The priest's name was Berenger Saunier. He was a very odd individual, a priest that was assigned to essentially the outskirts, the perimeters of France. He was assigned to this parish, and prior to his arrival, he was very poor. He had difficulty surviving, but in attempting to rebuild a church that was in his domain, the story is that he discovered in the ruins of this church several parchment scrolls, and on these scrolls was a genealogy. He approached his superior, a bishop, who then instructed him to go to Paris, I believe, to speak to some Holy Church authorities there. They examined the parchments. When he came back to his tiny little parish, he was suddenly a very wealthy man. A bank in Paris assigned him an agent to take care of his business affairs. He was a very enigmatic priest who went from extraordinary poverty to extreme wealth. One of the most curious things about him is that when he passed away on January the 17th, he was 65 years of age. He was quite healthy. As a matter of fact, his village had just toasted his good health and how extremely healthy he was for a man of his age. However, he suddenly dies on January the 17th of a stroke. And the mystery is deepened when it is uncovered in Holy Blood and Holy Grail. It is uncovered that his housekeeper, the woman who worked for him, ordered his coffin 5 days before his death. Yet his heart attack, his stroke, was an accident. And so the mystery deepens about Saunier. And it appears, at least from what they are suggesting, the information that's coming out, is that he accidentally discovered these scrolls that lead us to believe that there is a secret genealogy of the family of Jesus. I agree with the authors of the book Holy Blood, Holy Grail, that this appears to be a deliberate manipulation of the fact, that there is a deliberate effort to release this genealogy, and what more dramatic way than to have a priest discover them in the ruins of a church.
Robert, I had a very interesting show last night, and we were talking about the Sphinx, and we had revealed to us the fact, leaked to us, I guess, the fact that there are 9 chambers that have just been discovered below the Sphinx. Graham Hancock believes there will be information contained therein that will change the nature of the world. Everything we believe, every path we have been on, he believes will be called into question as having been the wrong path, meaning we're still on the wrong path now.
I agree.
I've had a feeling you were going to. Let us delve into that when we come back. From the high desert, you're listening to Live Talk Radio.
Well, all right.
Robert Morning Sky is my guest. He's not been pulling any punches, so I'm not going to either. There is documented proof that Christ existed. The Crusaders, Knights Templar, Knights of Malta, Knights Teutonic came along in the 10th century. The Knights Templar are still carrying a grudge because Pope Clement V was persuaded to abolish the order, gave their wealth to the King of France. Be careful, Art. You are talking to an anti-Christ. I am part Indian Cherokee. And those Indians have weird beliefs. By the way, I believe the saying is, if you divulge any secrets that you have learned here, may your bowels be ripped from your body and shoved down your throat. Otherwise, I take it, Robert, you're having a good day.
I'm having a very good day, sir. And one of the things that I am most pleased about in response to this fact is that those things that we have been talking about tonight are in full public view. Other authors have written about them, and so I am revealing no secrets. I am simply taking pieces and putting them together and saying, take a look at how they fit.
Sometimes, though, you see, that's what CIA does, Robert. They take little bits here and little bits there, and really you don't get to the secret until the bits come together. So you may be a teller of secrets.
If that be the case, then I would plead guilty, but I would take pride in being able to portray a picture where, you know, the pieces do fit quite well.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Morning Sky. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Yeah, this is John in Houston.
Houston, yes.
Yeah, I was wondering what the comments mean about him ending his career.
If you've been listening for the past several hours, the ending of what was his career should be obvious. We shouldn't need to explain that to you. First time caller line, you're on the air with Robert Morning Sky.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Yes, where are you?
I'm in San Diego. My name's Kurt.
Okay, Kurt.
And I'm putting my radio off here.
That's good.
I was wondering a few questions. They all relate to a past program you had with Robert on the star beings.
Yes.
And my first question was, since the nearest star system we know of is 4.3 light years away, how did they travel this distance?
All right, the old speed of light question, Robert, care to comment?
Well, simple question. My very quick response is that obviously the speed of light and the technology that we deem to be appropriate to the universe is all based on earthly physics and earthly observations. I would simply suggest that the rules which we believe apply to the universe are very, very narrow, and the perspective is inaccurate, and the speed of light can be exceeded, whether one calls it time warp.
You're suggesting that the rules may be localized.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Morningsky. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm okay.
Okay, good. I have a question for Mr. Morningstar. Morningsky, sorry. It has to do with Mary of Magdalene.
Yes.
And I'm not really clear on a lot of parts of it. I remember seeing something about it on TV where they sort of suggested that Mary of Magdalene brought with her the chalice to France. And they sort of suggested that it wasn't necessarily a goblet or a glass, more of that she was the Holy Grail, so to speak. And I'll hang up and listen to your response.
All right.
The interpretation that has led to such, I believe, confusion is again addressed in Holy Blood, Holy Grail, and we've done it in our work in Prophecy in this new paper. The term that was originally applied to Mary was literally sangral, but the term is two words. It's sangre, S-A-N-G-R-E, which means blood, and real, which is royal. She was the carrier of the sangreal. The difficulty is that in time the interpretation became san, S-A-N, which does mean, in fact, saintly, but then graal, which was interpreted as grail. So it is a misinterpretation. The Holy Grail is a misinterpretation of the royal blood, sangre real. And authors Bajently and Lincoln do a very good presentation of that material in their book, Holy Blood, Holy Grail. So it is true that it appears that the so-called cup, chalice, or grail was not in fact a physical goblet, that it in fact referred to Mary, and that she was the holder of the holy blood, of the royal blood of Jesus.
All right, I am going to read something and take a quick break, which I have to do, and I want you to think about it, Robert. Art, ask Robert if he or anyone is willing to die for a lie. For example, did Sitting Bull win the war against the whites? Do you say no? We let you live. If you say yes, we'll boil you in oil and crucify you upside down and then feed you to the lions. All of which happened to the original 12 disciples and thousands of Christians. If the disciples had not actually seen Jesus resurrected, they would never have died for a lie. Because it was true, they were not only willing to be martyrs, but happy about it. Ken from Arkansas. In a moment, Robert's response. Now to Robert, Morningsky. Robert, you heard that fax. Dying for a lie. Why would the disciples, why would so many Christians have been willing to die for a lie? Let's not talk of the later ones, but the early ones, the disciples, the ones who ostensibly are said to have witnessed all of this. It's a good question.
Well, I think it's a very good question. I'm not sure that this is, how do I ask it? If he's asking for my opinion, I would suggest that the disciples, as well as numerous, hundreds of thousands of people throughout our history, have been willing to accept guilt and or blame in order to save someone. For example, and I'm not saying that this is true, but in the movie Spartacus, at the very end, the hundreds of slaves stand up and claim to be Spartacus in an effort to spare Spartacus his life.
Indeed.
And so in the sense that they assumed the lie, I am Spartacus, they went to their death for the cause they believed in. So one could say they died for a lie. They died pretending they were Spartacus. However, I think that if people die for a cause, they die because they believe in it. The problem with that is sometimes what people believe in is not accurate. So I guess my position is the semantics. I don't believe anybody dies for a lie. I believe that they die for causes which may be inaccurate.
Very gently done. All right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Morning Sky. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is David, Liberal, California.
Yes.
I'd like to know, are the Templars or the family behind them connected to the CFR or the Trilateral Commission? And are any of them the same 19 people working in the White House right now?
All right.
I hesitate to oversimplify. My answer is a very generic yes.
A generic yes.
Not a specific yes. Exactly, because I do believe that the CFR, the Council on Foreign Relations, is a front for the family. I do believe that's the case. I do believe that the powers in the White House, behind the throne in England, et cetera, are a part of the secret family. So it's a very qualified yes. They are not specifically the P2, the Knights of Malta, Knights Templar, the CFR, the Trilateral Commission. They are not specifically that. These organizations are the front for this family.
All right. First time caller line, you're on the air with Robert Morning Sky. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Oh, golly. First of all, Art Bell, I would like to thank you with deepest gratitude for the wonderful work you're giving into the United States.
Thank you. Where are you?
I'm in Las Vegas. My name is Morningstar.
Oh, it is?
Yes, it is. It's tribal. And I would like to ask Robert Morning Sky what his opinion is of Paul of Tyana, the gentleman from Tyana, if he has any opinion on it. And also to thank him from the bottom of my heart for all of his wonderful work.
Can you respond?
I have researched quite a long time this subject, and I think he's absolutely 100% right on.
Okay.
So I'll listen off the air. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you again. It's always, for me, and this is my prejudice, it's always so enheartening to find someone else who is of a primitive society who supports what we're doing, so thank her very, very much. I am not sufficiently knowledgeable of this individual that she spoke of to be able to make a comment, and so with great apologies, I simply can't answer. I don't know.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Morning Sky. Hello. Oh, I can barely hear you, ma'am.
This is Sherry in Minneapolis.
Okay, you're going to have to yell at us, I guess.
Uh-oh. Well, I have so many questions. Robert, first of all, I want to say I haven't studied or done research on the things that you're talking about, but I've developed a worldview that I feel is, you know, similar to what you're talking about. And, you know, to me, it has led to political activism. It has led to, you know, trying to do things to, you know, to protect the people that I care about, which are the people who are in the position that I'm in. So I kind of wanted to ask you about that. You know, what do we do, given that all of this is true? You know, given
that... All right, that is a good question. What do we do, given that all of this is true? What is the path that you advise?
My immediate reaction is, you know, that it is such this is a really good question.
Mm-hmm.
There is so much that is involved, so many different groups, organizations, societies, the myriad, it's a dummy corporation inside a dummy corporation, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But basically, I think if we look at the overall view, and again, I'm really oversimplifying here, but the power that controls the planet, whether one deems it terrestrial or extraterrestrial, the power that controls this planet are in the hands of a very precious few. And the way in which they succeed is that we, the general public, are taught to accept and never question and never challenge. We are not taught, in fact, to use our minds, the very gift which, if everyone believes in a God, we are given a mind which we are then not permitted to use. The problem is we're taught to accept, and so my immediate reaction is accept nothing. challenge everything. I agree with Mr. Hancock. I will.
As a matter of fact, I meant to come back to that.
Yeah, but I will go a step further, and as I used to say in all my workshops, accept nothing, challenge everything. Up is down, black is white, and everything you've ever been taught is a lie. One of the things that we had put in the Second Coming conspiracy in these papers is a linguistic study that shows, in fact, that the very earliest terms applied to male and female have been reversed. And so without getting into it in depth, those human beings who we today refer to as males, in the very ancient societies, that individual was a female. In other words, the sex roles, the names, the appellations have been reversed.
Yeah, I think I'm beginning to catch on. Everything is a lie. You almost embrace the faith of the lie that nothing is as we have been led to believe or taught.
Exactly. We're taught to accept. We're not taught to challenge. Mm-hmm. That's why when you go into the classroom and you ask a question that may plague the teacher to some extent, the first thing she says is, don't get smart.
Yeah, the support that I would find for what you're suggesting is what may lie beneath the Sphinx. And if that's what is beneath the Sphinx, then I suggest the Brookings report is exactly right. And frankly, if I had those materials in my hand, I don't know what I'd do with them, Robert.
Exactly.
I might burn them.
Exactly. And our position, and I have spoken to two other researchers who are known on a global scale, and the question that we have is, do you tell the public?
I don't think so.
No. And you're absolutely correct. No. I mean, what we have talked about this evening and what we have presented in our workshops is not even close to being the tip of the iceberg of what the research shows. And so I don't want to take away from the world its faith, its belief systems, what it accepts to be true. I don't want to do that.
The world is not ready for what you're saying.
I believe.
I mean, some of the people that are calling, or even a majority tonight, amazingly are. But I know, without question.
I believe you're absolutely correct. And again, that has played no small part in our saying, no, we're not going to conduct
the agony of doing this, sure.
Yeah, so what we're going to do is we're going to finish the books that we have begun. We're going to offer them to the public. If the support from the public is there, and again, I marvel at the response that we have gotten this evening. I really do. But if they are willing to support and willing to entertain,
they probably are. They probably are going to. And what you're going to need to do is find a good publisher, one
exactly.
who will go for it,
yeah.
publish the book, find a nice Central American country where you can sit and enjoy and collect royalties for years to come.
I would like to sit in the States on a reservation somewhere in Powwow every weekend.
Uh-huh. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Morningsky. Hello.
Good morning to both of you.
Good morning to you,
Robert Morningsky. Very, very
Sky.
Program.
Sky,
morning,
Robert.
Sky.
You know, Robert, have you ever thought that you ought to change it to Star because they just want to call you Star?
Yes, sir.
Well, you are indeed the star of the show, so that's probably where that subconscious contract comes. A quick reference to an earlier remark about Christendom and its martyrdom in the past. I can only reference to the present time in Vietnam when friends of mine, comrades of mine, died thinking and believing they were fighting for the right reason, only for us in the living to find out later, some 20 years later, that there was much political intrigue, if you know what I'm saying. So
there's always political intrigue in war, sir, and
yes.
for you to suggest that 20 years later their lives were given in vain makes me angry. So
oh, no,
careful.
No, not at all. No.
Twenty years has not changed a damn thing, and those people who gave their lives gave them valiantly and gave them with cause. And
Right, correct, Art. And what I'm just suggesting is that when I was very young, going into the service, as many of us do in any country, we are perhaps induced to do so, only to find out later that there was slightly a twist in the operation, and not to demean the reason and cause for which we died for.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Let's see. First time caller line, you're on the air with Robert Morningsky. Hello.
Yes, hello. My only question is, I don't really see where the conflict is between the Bible or Christians, and what Mr. Morning Sky is saying in terms of if a Christian says that Jesus died, therefore he could have had children, then he can't be a Christian, because the Bible says that Jesus didn't die. He was dead for 3 days, but his physical body was
still walking
around.
The Bible says, sir, that he died and was resurrected. You know, that is what it says.
Yeah, so it doesn't seem to be in conflict with having children or getting married.
Oh, I follow you now. Is that an acceptable...
It's certainly plausible what he is saying. Again, it sounds like we may be agreeing in the essence and only maybe disagreeing in the details. And so I'm pleased that he doesn't see difficulty with what we have done.
But there's a lot of importance in details.
I mean, we
may gloss over them to find areas of agreement, but I'm sitting here feeling the details.
Well, I agree. I mean, the difference is that I do not believe that he died on the cross. I believe that he survived it, and this gentleman is saying that he was resurrected and came
right
back in full physical life. And so perhaps
non-trivial details. Look,
yeah, perhaps I've demeaned it by saying it's a detail when in fact it could be very vital to, you know, the belief system and what we're presenting.
All right, look, Robert, listen,
sir.
There's only 1 hour of the show left. I don't feel like doing an hour after this. So stick around for one more and you will have done it. All right? One more hour, Robert. One more. Yes.
Okay, all right. You got it.
We'll be right back. Now to Robert Morning Sky. Robert, again, thank you for staying on, because the last hour, after this incredible 4 hours plus now, I would have just been answering questions that you should have been answering. And I'd be sitting here saying, well, that's a question you should be asking Mr. Morning Sky.
Well, thank you very much, you know, for the opportunity. It's obvious I am a little tired in that, but the response, you know, the people that have been calling and that...
it's massive.
I'm astounded. I'm just absolutely, you know, surprised, but at the same time, I am so, so pleased and enheartened when I know that there are people that are out there who can listen to, obviously, what is controversial material, and they can see that some of it makes sense, or at least perhaps I'm optimistic that they can see sense in it, but...
All right, at the very least, sit out there and apparently, for the most part, listen with a very open mind.
I
too am very shocked.
Exactly, and I have to thank you again, and you've probably heard it a dozen times. But thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Morning Sky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is Zeb.
Zeb.
I'm living in Minnesota.
Okay, Zeb.
I just wanted to say that, like, the last year, it's great to hear someone like Robert talking, because the last year, a bunch of my friends and I have been talking about there's so much stuff that we have to unlearn, you know, that we've been taught our whole lives. And I just wanted to say that I think all that information should be out there for the public to hear, you know. At the end of the last hour, you said that a lot of people wouldn't be able to handle it.
That's right.
And I think that's kind of harmful in itself, too, because there's a lot of people out here.
It may be, but it's true. Trust me, it's true. But I will take to heart what you have said. In fact, turn it into sort of a question for you, Robert, and that is, if everything is a lie and everything should be challenged and everything is roughly backwards from the way that we think we know it, then what he said is true. We have so much to unlearn.
That's exactly right. As a matter of fact, when we were doing the vision quest for the various individuals, you know, over the last year that I've been very fortunate to be in contact with, one of the first things that what we told them was, you're going to have to unlearn everything you have taught. That's just to get you back to ground zero, so that then you can turn around and take a look at what is really out there. So Zeb is remarkably insightful. You know, you do have to unlearn. That's absolutely correct. The difficulty is, as you and I, because I have the feeling that Zeb is a relatively young man and he's very fortunate, your experience and mine tends to lead us to
you know, the conclusion that the world probably isn't ready. On the other hand, I think we need to put the material out there, and that's what I hope, that's what my wife and I are hoping will happen, is that we have an opportunity to print all of this stuff at least, you know, one last time, and let the public take a look at it, and then let them judge after that.
But, they will do that, believe me. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Robert Morning Sky. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Mike in KDX country.
Hi, Mike.
I wanted to make a comment and then ask a couple of questions.
Sure.
A man who was one of the scientists that examined the Shroud of Turin.
Yes.
He gave up his career because he would not debunk it. He was a Jewish man of Jewish faith, and after examining it, he was absolutely convinced that Christ arose from the dead, and he made a documentary and handed it to another gentleman, and it's called The Silent Witness. And if he watches that video, he will have no doubt in his mind that Christ did live and arose from the dead. My question was, what other garment or cloth or any object can be photographed and upon developing it produce nothing but a negative?
Well, there remains, though, much controversy about the Shroud of Turin, does there not?
Well, there is a lot of debunking about it, but if you watch The Silent Witness, NASA and all kinds of other scientists absolutely are convinced that this was the burial cloth of Christ.
Yes, I understand. All right.
One other question.
Wait. One at a time.
Okay.
Let's go for that one, Robert. The Shroud of Turin.
I'm familiar with the video. I have not seen it. The gentleman who was responsible for the book on the secret of the Shroud of Turin, I believe his name is either Kirster or Kirsten. I apologize. I don't recall. His work is familiar to me. We did examine it. I do not have any difficulty in accepting that the shroud, there is some sort of phenomena attached to it. I, however, have difficulty connecting it with the figure known as Christ. I believe that there is perhaps a little more to the shroud than we have been told. However, there's a leap of faith here between the shroud and the Jesus story that I can't quite make. So I'm not denying that there is something with the shroud. I just can't quite make that link with the story of Jesus.
Okay, caller?
And one other thing is he mentioned that he believes that all this information was fabricated. So isn't it also conceivable that the fabrication that Christ wasn't who he said he was, or the scriptures are not correct, is also fabricated to create like a double whammy? In other words, to debunk the faith of the Christians and also bring a large following of people to the so-called Antichrist.
That's absolutely correct. And my position, again, as I stated much earlier in the program, is that I have a newspaper background, and I am not comfortable with making a statement or accepting a statement until I have three separate and distinct sources that aren't going to affect one another. And we believe that we have found sources in Europe, in Egypt, and believe it or not, even in Native America, that support the conclusions that we've come to. So you're absolutely correct. Virtually any statement, anything written, anything videotaped can be altered, distorted, or a complete fabrication. That's why I think it is necessary to look at as many sources as possible so that one is comfortable with the conclusion. And so the gentleman is correct. We have at least 3 to 4 sources on all of our documentation, and that's why I'm a little more comfortable.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Morning Sky. Where are you calling from, please?
This is Bob in Tuscaloosa.
Hi, Bob.
I'd like to say something to Robert, please.
You are.
Okay, Robert, I'm aware that you say you're a Native American. Well, I am also. I'm east of the Mississippi. But anyway, all Native Americans don't believe such things as that. See, the white man's book from heaven is the way we accepted the Bible. And I'm talking about back in years ago, many years ago. Now, there's a lot of us that have that belief that we have the Bible, 66 books, you know, and it's from God. Now, a man that does not believe in God, he could not believe that the Bible is from God.
I think that's what you've been hearing.
But now, that's what we believe, is that the Bible is from God, and we don't care what happened back during the time that what you're talking about the pyramids or whatever. We still believe that Bible is from God, and whatever is found, we still believe it, and we can care less of whatever is found anywhere.
All right. That's a good statement of absolute faith, and I don't think anybody's going to challenge it.
Absolutely correct. I wouldn't question it at all. As I said earlier in the program, I speak for no one other than myself, and I would not dare dream about taking this gentleman's faith away from him.
First time caller line, you're on the air with Robert Morningsky. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Turn your radio off.
Oh, okay.
Off.
Yes, hi.
Hi, where are you?
I'm calling from Anchorage, Alaska.
All right.
Well, Mr. Bell?
Yes.
I'm experiencing somewhat of a spiritual crisis here. Hello?
Yes, please, go ahead.
I'm talking through my Macintosh computer.
Yes?
Okay. I grew up and went to Baptist church. I was baptized a Mormon as a teenager. I married a Buddhist. I have a daughter now who is 8 years old and is asking questions about God. And I don't know what to tell her.
Well, I'm not sure we can tell you what to tell her. Robert, would you offer any advice?
No, I agree with you. Whether it's religion, faith, discipline, whatever you want to call it, that is purely subjective, and I could not, there is no way that I could say anything as to, you know, what you can tell your daughter. I agree with you, Art. There's nothing we can say to her except wish her, you know, the best.
Sure. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Morningsky. Hello. Going once, going twice, gone. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Good morning, Sky.
Hello.
Good morning. Hello.
Hello.
I have a few things. I can go all over with this. The trans-universal idea of, you know, people from another place came here. Real easy for me to see that this planet could have just easily been an exile prison, so to speak, and left here. And this whole idea of these formed religions is kind of like a blood-kissing way to get out of prison. Appease the warden, and maybe we'll go back. And after the last 5,000 documented years, it's been diluted and corrupted so bad that we have a bunch of people running around, you know, insanely with this idea. And what I'd like to know is if it has that crossed your concept of what's going on.
In regards to this being like a penal colony?
Well, originally as being a penal colony, and the whole concept of the...
It's a very intriguing thought. Our research, and again, I have to stress that a lot of where my material came from were from the ancient myths and legends of primitives, you know, across the globe. I don't want to say just Native American. And then it was a process of going through and taking linguistic analysis, comparing them, finding the patterns, and seeing, you know, what common threads there were. And what we have uncovered seems to be more in line with, for example, what Mr. Sitchin has suggested, that there wasn't a deliberate colonization effort here, and that man is essentially a slave, a beast created to serve the gods. However, because of our unique situation, we have found that there were ancient civilizations that predated even the existence of Earth, that there were civilizations on Mars and Venus, including the moons of Jupiter and Saturn. There was an additional planet that obviously doesn't exist any longer now, where the asteroid belt was. And so the idea that you present is plausible. It perhaps is a slightly different way of saying that we are servants to the gods. Perhaps, I don't know about prisoners to a warden. Actually, it kind of works in my mind,
But not that the whole story isn't quite that. It's not quite that.
All right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Morning Sky. Hello.
Oh, hello. This is Ed in Finland, California.
Hi.
Okay. Yes, this is a great show tonight. A couple of quick questions. First, on a short wave one time, I heard excerpts of the audio portion of a BBC documentary on the Templars in France, and I wonder if you know about that. And also, what about the spearhead of Magnus, I think it is, in the museum in Vienna? And could you give your contact number again?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. The spear of Aquinas, I'm only just vaguely familiar with. There are several myths and legends about it that intrigue me, but I have not researched it per se. There is a contact that we have in France. As a matter of fact, one of the last parting shots that I will present to the world is there is a documentary crew out of France who has offered to videotape the information on the Templar Knights and some other things, and
really?
It's going to be produced in France. And this very same group, I have requested additional information, both audio and video, that are apparently available in Europe, but they're not available in the United States. I am aware of some of those materials. I believe part of what I received in the mail a couple of months ago may very well have been, as I said, the material available over there, but which we can't get here in the land of the free.
Robert, I'm going to allow you to give your number again in a moment when we come back. The bottom of the hour approaches. I need my desert calm. This is Maria. You know I need this on Saturday. Well, all right, Robert, you have just about run the gauntlet, as it were. We're in the final segment, so here we go. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Morning Sky. Good morning.
Morning, Art. Morning, Robert. I am afraid, Robert, I disagree with you, because I saw this show, well, it's been some months ago, about the crucifixion, Jesus Christ, and my Lord. There were two doctors on the show, and the immense pain, suffering, you wouldn't believe it. It's absolutely phenomenal. Maybe 4 to 6 hours a person could live, and they're dead.
You're referring to the process of crucifixion.
Right.
I think it would be Mr. Morning Sky's position that that never occurred.
He doesn't agree that Jesus was nailed to the cross?
I'll let him speak for himself.
Okay.
Actually, that's not correct. I do believe that there was a crucifixion. I do believe that he endured the pain and the suffering. We have presented in the Terra Papers our scenario. I do believe that all of the stations of the cross, the crucifixion, the nailing, all of those things did occur. Where I differ is that when the body was taken down, that it was not lifeless. In fact, that there was life in the body and that he did survive the cross. So,
well, do you realize how long he was up on the cross?
I'm sorry?
How long was he up on the cross?
I hear varying versions.
At least a couple of days.
Who interprets a couple of days? No. It's a matter of hours. If one looks at the Jewish law and the Roman law, apparently he had to have been taken down on the very same evening that he was crucified. And so I am not making this judgment call. I am going by some of the Jewish researchers and others who suggest that he was only up for less than a day, and depending on the individual hours. And so, I don't disagree that there was a crucifixion. In fact, I believe that there was.
Okay, I apologize for misrepresenting your position.
That's quite all right.
East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Morning Sky. Hello.
Yes, I wanted to ask him, where is he getting a lot of his information? Because it sounds a lot like what Dr. York has been teaching for over the past 25 years.
Where are you, Mitch?
I'm in Nashville tonight.
Nashville, all right. Okay, fair question. Tell her.
Okay, I'm not familiar with the name Urich. York.
Mm-hmm.
With apologies, I'm not familiar with this individual. I can sit and quote some of the authors and the researchers if you would like. Certainly, Bajant Lee Lincoln, Barbara Thiering, several researchers who are probably nameless, but
The individual that she named, I am not familiar with.
A lot of people call him the Messiah. He's been teaching, you know, a lot of things what you're saying about angelic beings or aliens, reading with the human race and us being a part of them. A lot of what you're saying he's been teaching for well over 25 years. It's really not something new to people who read his teachings. He's written over hundreds of books that can date back to 20 years ago where you can get the same information from. And it seems like about the ship Nibiru or the planet Nibiru, he's from planet Ritz and the Orion Nebula. And it seems like a lot of what you're saying is a lot of what he's written about. I mean,
I'm not familiar enough.
But you don't have all the answers that he has to a lot of the questions that the people have been calling in and asking questions. You can't answer the questions where someone who is well-read in his teachings can answer.
Well, that's obvious. He has not read him. He admitted that.
A lot of people out there with a lot of questions, I think that if they do want to find out the answers to their questions, a lot of questions that I've heard are answered in his book.
All right. Well, there's another reference for everybody then. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Robert Morningsky. Hi.
Hi.
Yes?
My name is Joyce, and I'm from Nashville, too.
Okay, I'm good. Turn your radio off, if you would, please.
I didn't think I was going to get through.
Well, then you can always hope you will. And
okay. My question is, in the light of what Mr. Morningsky is saying...
Yes.
What should a family do? What should an individual person do about this? How can we prepare for the future and the things that might be coming upon the earth?
Well, I touched lightly on it earlier to another question, you know, what are we going to do? My first suggestion is that one pick up every book, every piece of information, anything that one finds, you know, either piques their interest or is important to them. I would read everything. Certainly, if this gentleman that the previous caller mentioned, I'm not familiar with the works, but I'd say read this individual, Zachariah Sitchin, Robert Bauvel, Graham Hancock, Colin Anderson. Go to Australia, read some of their researchers. And so my initial reaction is don't accept anybody. Ask about everything. Because, point of fact, I believe that the elders of the world, whether they be white, black, red, or yellow, whatever the culture, society, I think the elders all have but pieces of the puzzle. I think you need to look at all of the pieces and see what kind of picture it makes, as opposed to just one culture, one society, one tribal domain. And so I'd say accept nothing, challenge everything. Mm-hmm. And I think once you examine everything that's out there, your internal truth will react to what is appropriate to you. So probably become aware and challenge everything.
Robert, while I'm thinking about it, the number where people can get some of your materials, please.
Thank you. Yes, it's a new number for some listeners who have known about us in the past. Our new number is area code 602-404-8050.
Okay. Is that staff during the day, or what's the deal?
It is staff during the day. There is a message machine during the evening. There is an automatic switch. One can go back and forth from either a phone call to a fax. So it's a combination number. We got the latest equipment we could.
All right. Area code 602-404-8050. Right?
That's right. That's correct, sir. Thank you.
All right. Good. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Morningsky. Hello.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
This is Susie from Jacksonville, North Carolina.
Hi, Susie. Are you guys washed away? Apparently not.
No, we're not. Miraculously, we kept phone service during the whole thing.
Well, that's excellent.
You're calling for a guest, aren't you?
I have a guest on, yes.
Yes, well, you probably don't want to talk to me. I just wanted to call and let you know that we all survived and everything seems to be okay here.
Well, we're all glad to hear that. In the first half hour, we did talk to some people in North Carolina and South Carolina, and now you as well. I'm glad to know that my birthplace remains relatively intact.
Relatively. Minus a whole lot of trees.
All right. Thank you, dear.
Uh-huh.
Be well. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Morningsky.
The first time I ever heard of the Knights Templar was a guy on the radio. He plays on the radio. He broadcasts on shortwave, regular radio, TV, satellite, all. He runs his program at the same time over all of it.
Okay.
He's in L.A.
P.O. Box 1.
No, no, no.
Huh?
No addresses.
Okay. Did you ever hear Dr. Gene Scott?
Of course.
He talks about pyramids and this Templar stuff.
You can see Dr. Gene Scott sitting there in his chair on satellite hour after unrelenting hour. It's absolutely amazing, actually.
No, it was the first time I ever heard of the Knights. This is the second person I ever heard talk about the Knights Templar.
All right. Do you have a specific question?
Is Knights Templar, just turned on a while ago. Could they be Satanic?
Satanic?
Yeah.
Well, that is actually a good direct question.
That's a good question in the sense that I suppose some people could personify them as that, and some people I think have tried, but I find nothing to suggest that they're, and satanic I'm assuming is either devil worship or reverence or satanic ritual.
Mm-hmm.
There's no evidence that we have found that indicates that they're satanic at all.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Morningsky. Hi.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, sir.
What I think is really amazing, I listened to you all night long, and was Graham Hancock last night. And it seems like you're both coming from the same direction.
I began to discern the same thing. Graham, of course, more indirectly, but there's certainly a tie, isn't there?
Yeah, and Graham seems to be going more towards religion now than what I would expect a scientist to do. From the way he was talking and the way he was ending up saying we have to find ourselves, mm-hmm. and look for a true meaning. And I was raised a Catholic, and from what you're saying, Mr. I'll call you Bob, because I said morning star, morning. I got it mixed up, but anyway.
Mr. Morning.
Oh, Mr. Morning.
He's definitely Mr. Morning.
Call him Ghost, though.
Yeah. No, don't call him Ghost.
But what really amazes me is if like Roswell, if the people that want to hide Roswell give you all kinds of false truths. If during Jesus' time, they put out people to change the story to get him against the people so they would crucify him, and wouldn't you think at that time that they would have people writing erroneous stories so it would go down that they didn't want to be the people that had killed this person if he was really who this person was? And they would be putting out misinformation like that?
It's an awfully good bet, if I had to answer the question. What do you think, Robert?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I definitely agree. It's just common sense, I believe, and so, yes, I agree, and I gotta tell you that I am an admirer of Graham Hancock, and the sheer fate of all of this was that I was going to get on a plane the very next day to go to Dartmouth College and to be on the venue with Graham Hancock. I cannot tell you how really sorry I am that I was not able to get on the plane to go be with him, so I am an admirer, and I really do believe that our research is coming from the same place. Perhaps we vary slightly in the conclusion of where we're going with it, but I am an admirer, and I'm sorry that I missed this program last night.
I'm sorry you did, too. It was a very significant program, as, by the way, this has been. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Morningsky. Hi.
Hi, Robert. I'm calling from St. Paul.
Yes, sir.
You were talking about the theory of Christ escaping to India earlier.
Yes.
And I was wondering how much is written about his time there as far as the theorists go.
My understanding, there are several writings, books. Apparently there was a teacher in India subsequent to the time or just after the time of the crucifixion known as Issa, I-S-S-A, and apparently this was a teacher, a healer, someone who attended the mystery schools, and it is remarkably close, this individual, to the persona of Jesus as portrayed in the Bible in the New Testament, and so...
And does he say anything about Christ's relationship with Buddhism when he was there?
Yes, as a matter of fact, it appears that many of his teachings were very similar to Buddhism, and...
Right, that's why even now, Buddhists
Yes.
Do hold Christ in high esteem as a teacher.
Exactly. And I believe that part of what has happened, and with great apologies to the church, I think it's been self-serving. It's supposed to self-empower the church by, I believe, twisting what was actually said, which were much more Buddhist in their inclination than is portrayed, you know, even to this day. For example, apparently in the earliest of writings, Jesus did believe in incarnation, which is obviously a very Buddhist thought, but that did not make it into the Bible. No. I'm sure people can come up with numerous stories of the Council of Nicaea and others who rewrote the Bible in order to perpetuate the myth. And so I apologize, I don't recall the author's name. If you want to call the office in the next couple of days, we can look up the individual who wrote the book on the teachings of Issa, a remarkable man who lived in India just after the...
This is I-S-S-A?
I-S-S-A, that's correct.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, and have a good morning. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Morning Sky.
Hello, Robert. This is the Sparkster.
Hey, Sparkster. How you doing, guy?
Hey, pretty good. Hey, what's you doing talking about this and then all of a sudden leaving? You're kind of dropping a bomb on us all.
Sparkster is a very good friend, someone who was actually very instrumental in my beginning this lecture tour about a year and a half ago. I got to tell you, Sparky, that's a question that is tormenting me, and I look forward to sitting down with you and talking about it. I'll tell you what I'm most concerned about. I don't want my daughter to lose her father.
Absolutely.
And if your listeners, if anybody out there has a way, and certainly Arch, the possibility of a truly demented publisher who would be willing to take these works and to put them in print so that I could tuck away. You know, if anyone is from someone, please, and I really could use the help. But at this point, this argument with this automobile is awfully persuasive that I need to, at least as I'm doing now, get out of the public eye. I'm going to continue to write so long as public support is there, but, you know, it's...
Well, let me tell you this. I interviewed a man who wrote a book called The Turner Diaries.
Oh, yes, I'm familiar with.
He found a publisher. You can find one.
Yeah, all right, one more thing.
Yes, sir.
Just for the listeners out there, there's an old saying, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And I think that goes with belief systems throughout until we're breaking paradigms as we go day by day. And Robert is really true, is speaking truth, and this is up to the individual to do their research on this to find their individual truth, because there is no smoking gun in any of this. And I thank you for having the show, and Robert, thanks a lot for coming on.
Thank you, Sparkster.
Buddy.
All right, take care. First-time caller line, not a lot of time left. You're on the air with Robert Morning Sky.
Hello, my name is Vicky. I'm phoning from Revelstoke, British Columbia, Canada.
Hello, Vicky.
Hi. I'm just really impressed. It's the first time I've listened to this show, and I'm still sitting out here in my vehicle after driving all night.
Oh, my.
And I can't get the radio show in my house, unfortunately. But I am going to be phoning your number, Robert, to get some more information. Because
thank you.
And ask about if you have a Canadian distributor, because I do sell metaphysical books and that type of thing. And this is just right up my reader's alley. And you made a very brief reference to... a couple of very brief references to the Freemasons, and I was wondering, is there any more of a connection there that you were trying to get through?
All right, I'll tell you what, we are at the end of the program, hon. There's not going to be time to address this. If you call that number, I think you can get together and get the information you want. I'm truly sorry, but we have constraints. The program is ending. I can't help
sure.
it. All right?
Sure.
Thank you very much. And Robert... what to say to you, my friend? You're embarking, obviously, on a new life. Your life is going to change. If you're careful, it will continue.
Thank you. Yes, that's the consideration. Again, my family, my daughter, and
yes.
Of course, others that I care about. And
I will do what I can. This program has gone, it's played no small part in convincing me that, you know, my estimation of mankind is true, that we really are a compassionate race, and we really do want the truth, and we're tired of the garbage that we've been fed. And I thank you very, very much. You really were the first phone call that I accepted this morning, and I'm so pleased to be able to talk with you and to share with you. And you do the same. Take care and be very careful. Thank you very, very much from both me and my family.
Take care, Robert, and all of you be safe. That's Robert Morning Sky, and that's a wrap, or 30, or whatever it is you say.